Luke chapter number 4. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We'll start in verse 1. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days he did eat nothing. And when he was when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. And the devil said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." Notice Satan is tempting him. This is called temptation. He was tempted 40 days. This is Satan tempting him. We have record of three different areas of temptation. We can read them here. But this happened for 40 days. In other words, there's more to this temptation than just these three. So the Bible says, Satan said to him, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." Every time the devil came, look down in verse number 6. The devil said to him, "All this power will I give thee," so forth and so on. Then it's written down there in verse number 9. Satan brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him. Notice three times that we have record of here that Satan said something to Jesus. Now, there are suggestions that come to all of our minds, just like that came to Jesus' mind, that have a source behind them beyond just you having a thought. Amen. There needs to be an intelligent recognition in the body of Christ of what is going on in our thought life. We're going to digress a little bit from the series we were doing. Remember, the Lord said there's four things that he wanted us to minister on concerning promotion. We went through having an excellent spirit. We got on humility. And there's others we need to get to. But I was awakened this morning, and the Lord definitely dealt with me that I need to go on a rescue mission. Amen. I don't know if you know what I mean by a rescue mission. But some of the things we say today might not apply directly to everybody here, but the principles will. And it's time that we do a little visiting again about some things that have to do with our thinking and our thought life. Satan spoke to Jesus and made suggestions to his mind. He had these thoughts coming to him from the spirit realm. I don't mean God. You know, Satan's also in the spirit realm. There's darkness and light in the spirit realm. There's evil and good in the spirit realm. There's thoughts that come from the spirit realm from God. There's thoughts that come from the spirit realm from Satan.
Yeah.
There are suggestions that come. There are temptations that come. There is a spirit realm. And young people, you need to be aware of this, because what you are learning, some of the things that you're encountering, you're wondering what it really is. And I'm here to tell you what it is this morning. It's not just you. It's not just you having these racing thoughts. It's not just you having this thought, "I've got to do this, I've got to do it," or panic thoughts, where a person is manic, where they're just one thought just keeps coming. A lot of times that is from the spirit realm. When it comes to these dark thoughts, these wrong thoughts, these temptations, these suggestions to do wrong things, these are not just you.
Right.
These are from a source in the spirit realm. Now that doesn't make you a bad person that it came. That doesn't mean you've done something wrong that it came. It doesn't mean you have sinned that the thought is coming. Over and over and over again. We don't have to talk about what the thought could be. It could be everything from a thought of suicide, a thought of leaving somebody that God's blessed you with, a thought of quitting, a thought of failure, thoughts of condemnation, thoughts of rebellion, thoughts of unforgiveness, thoughts of ill will towards somebody. You could just go on and on and on. There's many categories that could apply this morning, or thoughts of immorality. You know, there's many things that these thoughts, the many areas that these thoughts come in, or many arenas that they come in. But yet, we're not here to go through all the arenas this morning. We're here to just give you the answer, help you understand what it is that you're dealing with, and because the Word of God will work for every one of these areas. Can you say amen? But a lot of times, young people, I know I was that way whenever I first came into the things of God. I didn't know what was wrong. I thought there was something wrong with me. I thought that these thoughts kept coming. I must be doing something wrong. Well, you'd realize Satan takes advantage of ignorance. Yet right on the other hand, it wasn't me thinking these thoughts up. I didn't want to do those things. You understand what I'm talking about? I didn't want to think those thoughts. But I was not taught that Satan will come and make suggestions to my mind, and try to get me to think wrong, or take a thought, take a suggestion, take an unforgiveness, take wrong ill will towards people, or just any other thing you can think about that Satan wants to come bring thoughts against us for, and begin to go in the wrong direction because of that. We need to understand spiritual warfare. We need to understand whenever we're under it, or I shouldn't say under it, whenever we're encountering it. We can learn not to get under anything, but we do encounter these things. And it doesn't make us a bad person that we have encountered an attack of the enemy where he's coming making suggestions. And sometimes just pushes and pushes a thought. You know, because the devil says it over and over again, doesn't make it any more true. That, have you learned from the news media, they're trying to do that? Say something over and over and over. Say a lie over and over and over and over and over and over again, trying to get us to believe it's true. It doesn't make it true after 700 days of it. It doesn't make it any more true than it was the first time it was said.
Amen.
Some of the goofiest people you ever heard are on the news. And I'm not just picking sides. I'm talking about just people that have an agenda. And but Jesus, it's not you have failed because these thoughts keep coming. If you failed or did something wrong because they keep coming, then Jesus did something wrong here. But he didn't. Bible said he gave no place to the devil. Bible said he never sinned. Bible said he never, remember Jesus right before he's crucified, he said the prince of this world comes and he has nothing in me. Nothing in me. In other words, he never fell for Satan's strategy. He never fell for his agenda. He never got tripped up by these suggestions of the enemy. He always did something, and we see here what it was. He always answered and said to it. I said he answered and said something to it. And you have not really gotten good at faith or learned to really fully function in faith until you get good at talking to things. Amen. You've not really entered into God's full plan for your life to walk by faith if whenever certain things come, you don't answer it. Jesus spoke to things. He spoke to fig trees. He spoke to dead men. He spoke to wind and waves. He spoke to fevers. He spoke to demons. And he spoke to thoughts. He didn't just let any thought that came to his mind run free through his mind. Because some thoughts have to be addressed because they're from the enemy.
Amen.
And it's a strategy of the enemy to take us out, to keep bringing these things to us. You understand what I'm talking about? You have to learn to talk to things. When my wife and I first got married, it was very interesting. Because, and I thank God, by the way, that God took me. Because I was, when I came up as a teenager, I was very, and I'm not trying to glorify the devil, I gave him place in this. But I was very vexed and tormented in my thought life. And God took me to a place to where they taught me the word to tell me what was going on, because I did not know what was going on. In fact, I was Satan had a plan for me to really vex me and make me one of these statistics, you know, to where people are, whatever, on medications or in state institutions or whatever. I mean, that's the direction I was going. So vexed and tormented. But God took me to a place to where I understood what was going on. Amen. Because I didn't understand what was going on, people that were vexed or that were tormented or were harassed, they scared me. Because I didn't know what was going on. Once I found out what was going on, they didn't scare me. I then had the answers. Because I was afraid that I'd get around people that were really, you know, tormented and acting up. And I thought, that I know what the pressure is against my mind. I'm on that road if I'm not careful. And it scared me. Because I'd see the way they're acting. They're just further, they just progress more in that torment. And they're on in different stages of being out of control in their thought life. And flying off the handle and throwing fits and doing things that, you know, they lock people up for. In state institutions. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not condemning people. I'm just simply saying I didn't understand. And whenever I saw that, I thought, I know what's coming against me. And if I'm not careful, that's where I'm going to end up. And it scared me. Because the devil had a plan for my life. And I was on my way because I didn't know the word. I didn't know what it was. And I didn't answer the things that were coming against my mind. Bible says over there, you know the scriptures, talks about it in 2 Corinthians 2, it talks about, I think it's verse 14, I could be wrong, maybe verse 11, somewhere in there. It says, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, lest Satan get the advantage of us. Ignorance gives him the advantage. When you don't know that it's not just you having that thought, well, then you're at a disadvantage because Satan takes advantage of ignorance. So I'm so thankful God sent us, Pastor Debbie and I, to a place where the word was taught and I realized what was happening in my life. And I had the answers what to do to live free in that. It's live free in my mind because I was tormented. I have compassion for people in this area because I've been there. Pastor Debbie has compassion. She's been there. We know what it's like to be attacked in this area, but we also know what it's like to be free. We have, 2 Corinthians talks about it, the 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5, down and through there, 6, and it says that we don't wrestle, you know, these weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Ephesians says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The weapons we use are not carnal, but they are mighty.
That's right.
Yes. Mighty through God.
Yeah.
I tell you, it can seem like the stronghold or the attack of the enemy in our mind is mighty, but I got something for you this morning that's mightier. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It's mighty through God to pull down these strongholds. We're not talking about strongholds over a city or something. We're talking about strongholds between the ears.
Yes.
Pulling down strongholds. What? How do we know it's between the ears? Casting down imaginations.
Yes.
And every high thing that exalts itself, every thought that exalts itself against the Lord. Thoughts, 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 thoughts.
Yes.
These strongholds are beginning with, they begin with thoughts.
Right.
And they become imaginations and then they become strongholds.
Right.
Listen, you can pull down everything you want to over a city, and if you don't get people to renew their mind, the devil is going to have a place in their mind. But with a renewed mind, the demon strongholds can still be there, and they can't do a thing. We don't see Paul running around pulling down strongholds over cities. We don't see Jesus pulling down strongholds over cities. They actually have a right to be there. Satan is the god of this world, but they don't have a right to dominate me. Because I've been redeemed. I've been delivered from the authority of darkness. Amen. No, we got to deal with these things individually. These thoughts that come, we got to deal with them on our own. And listen, it's important that we not act like Satan's not doing anything. Because if you just try to ignore it, hoping he'll go away, that just gives him place.
Yeah.
Bible didn't say ignore it. It said fight the good fight of faith. Yes. It said to answer those things. Yes, like Jesus did. He answered these things. Can you say amen? So we can't act like it's not there. Can you say amen to that? And so Jesus spoke to these things. And Jesus spoke to things no one ever had a thought to speak to before. Isn't that right? Nobody had a thought of speaking to a tree or to wind or waves or fevers. But he did. And it obeyed him every single time. And here it says Jesus spoke to these thoughts. Now somebody said, how do you know it was a thought? How do you know it wasn't the devil appearing to him? Well, that would be no temptation. You'd know what that was. The Bible said he was tempted in all points like as we are. Satan doesn't appear to us too often. Does he? He was tempted like we are. Satan wasn't appearing to him. He was bringing thoughts to Jesus just like we have thoughts come to us. He was tempted like as we are. Not only in the areas we're tempted, but in the same methodology. How does Satan work? He brings thoughts. One thing that you have to know about Satan is he's a master at making suggestions and putting them in your mind. That's how Eve fell in the beginning. He made a suggestion to Eve's mind. Eve took it. She didn't realize that Satan was tricking her, deceiving her. The Bible said Satan beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Satan is crafty. If I give him credit for anything, I'll give him credit for that. He's crafty. And if you're not smarter through the Holy Ghost and through renewing your mind with the Word, he'll whoop you in this area. I don't want to just be free every area of my life, but my mind be tormented. I want freedom in my mind. In fact, I've gotten to the place that I've discovered I'm not really free until I'm free in my thought life. I can be free in areas that people can see. I want to be free in areas people can't see. I want to be free when I lay down to get quiet at night. I want to be free when there's silence, nobody's talking. I want to be free whenever there's nobody else around. I want to be able to sit in an empty, quiet room and not have harassing thoughts running through my mind. And thank God Jesus made it available to me. And he made it available to you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So Jesus didn't just ignore these things, did he? He didn't just hope they would go away. Because they won't. People want to run off and say, well, if I get away from my job, if I get away from my family, if I get away from my church, if I get away, that thing's going to follow you. Amen. It's not about running off. It's about standing. Amen. Taking God's word, answering what he's saying, and say, I'm not moving. You're the one that's going to move. I'm telling you that right now.
That's right.
If you don't learn to stand and answer these things, you'll become unstable. You'll become somebody that's moved by the suggestions, moved by the harassment, and moved by these influences. And so you'll become an unstable person. When the pressure gets turned up, you'll always run. Whenever the pressure gets turned up, why don't you do the Bible? Having done all to stand, stand. Answer these things and say, it is written.
It is written. It is written.
I know people that aren't even filled with the Holy Ghost that got a hold of this and were totally set free.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus didn't just ignore it, hoping it would go away, because these things won't go away. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So if these things come without being opposed, in other words, it will begin to work in your life. Thoughts are seeds. Satan brings these little suggestions to try to get us to take them. And when we take them, he comes along with another thought and waters that thought with another wrong thought. And he's watering it and watering. He wants it to become something greater than just a thought. He wants it to become an imagination. He wants it to become a stronghold. He wants to vex you, torment you. Not all demon activity is demon possession. Some is just oppression, where something just keeps on coming, just keeps on coming, just keeps on coming. And we have to learn as believers what Satan is doing, and we have to be skilled at taking the word and answering those things, because these things unopposed, they begin to work in our lives. I know of people where the enemy keeps working on them about suicide, just thoughts of suicide. You're ugly, nobody loves you, you need to kill yourself, you know, nobody will miss you, nobody loves you, whatever. Just, you know, you have no worth, you know, people don't, whatever. Just whatever he uses to bring thoughts of suicide. He's not just bringing that to harass that person, he wants to take that all the way.
Right, yes, that's right, yes he does.
He wants to go all the way. The devil's not playing games. We're not trying to glorify him this morning. We're simply shining the light on him. Because he can't operate in the light. He can't operate in the light. And we're, it's not right to glorify the enemy, but you don't act like he's dead either. You don't act like he doesn't exist. I began to tell you whenever Pastor Dave and I first got married, we had gone to school and learned how the enemy works in this area. I'm so thankful that every ministry God has had us sit under has taught strong on this subject. The Lord was reminding me of that when I first woke up this morning. He said, when you first got involved in Bible school there at Rhema, they taught you about this. I said, yeah. And then he said, in healing school, Brother Keith Moore taught a lot about this. I said, yeah. He said, when I connected you with Dr. Frayne, Pastor Nancy especially, Dr. Frayne a lot too, but in his own office in a different way. Pastor Nancy talked a lot about the thoughts and the mind. In fact, I've talked to her about, I don't hear enough people teaching about this. She said, yeah, I know. But everybody we've been connected with, they've been strong on this area. And I thank God for that. Because it has changed our lives. And we've learned where these things are coming from, and we've learned how to answer it. In fact, so much so that when we first got married, we were sitting at the dinner table one evening. We were eating, and you know, sometimes whenever you're eating, you're talking and having a good time. Sometimes you're just not saying much. And we're sitting there, we're not saying much to each other. And I don't remember if it was you or me. One of us spoke up and said, "Shut up in the name of Jesus." I didn't say anything. I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't talking to you." Amen. How many of you know there are voices that come not from a physical flesh and blood person, but they come to your mind in the form of thoughts and suggestions. And you need to learn. I mean, around the wrong people, that wouldn't be appropriate. You realize some people wouldn't understand what you're talking about. But we knew, and we've both heard each other say these things over the years. You know, just doing something and saying, "In the name of Jesus, shut up." Well, we know they're not talking to us. They're talking to the enemy. And if you'll hold things in that arena and deal with things in that arena, Satan won't get so many open doors to get into all these areas that you got to run to this fire and run to that fire, run to the other fire, putting out fires everywhere. I'm glad I came already this morning. Amen. Praise God. But if you answer them, they won't be able to work in your life. Because these things come to all of us, don't they? If you can't say yes to that, it's only because you're not paying attention. It does come to all of us. But you haven't done something wrong because it came to you. And you just have to learn to do the right thing with it. You won't fail in life because these things come. You won't get under oppression because they come. You'll get under it if you don't do the right thing when it comes. Jesus showed us what to do. He answered it. And he answered and said, "It is written." He didn't just answer and say, he didn't just answer it with his own thoughts. He answered with the word of God. Remember the Bible said in Ephesians chapter number 6, "Take the sword of the Spirit," which is the word of God. Amen. And he talks about using that sword against the enemy to oppose him and what he's coming against you and I with. It's not enough that we just ignore it and hope it goes away. I want to drive that home. Nor is it you have done something wrong because it comes. Can you see what I'm talking about? You can't act like it's not there or it's not working. We just have to bring him out into the light and not let him try to operate in the dark. Too many of these battles are waged in secret. It'd be different if everyone's mind had a TV screen on the forehead. Then people would be forced to deal with their thoughts because everybody else sees what I'm thinking. But see, since nobody knows what they're thinking, people sometimes aren't really dealing with it. But it's affecting you nevertheless, whether people know it or not. These things not to be, maybe not to people that it's not concerning or people that don't understand, but these things need to be brought out into the light. You understand there's a wrong area of that where you tell everybody all your thoughts. Well, we don't want to know all your thoughts. Jesus didn't tell everybody else here. He just answered the devil. If you had a thought of ill will or animosity toward me and didn't tell somebody else, just deal with it in your own mind. Don't come to me telling I had a bad thought about you. Well, I was better off before I knew that. Just deal with it in your own self. Amen. That's what I got to do whenever thoughts come against me about you. I just deal with it. Amen. We're laughing because we act like none of this is happening. It happens to all of us. We have not sinned because it came. The fact that it came means one thing. The devil is alive. That's all it means. That's Amen. You've not done something wrong. So, praise God. God wants us to have victory in these areas. And 1 Corinthians, like I said, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, said these weapons we have to fight these things are mighty. The main weapon is the truth of God's word. Jesus showed us that. He said it is written. Now, if you don't know what's written, you're at a disadvantage. Yeah, at a disadvantage. Satan's already got you. Or he's got an open door. Hallelujah. You never get to the place in life you can just coast in this area of your thought life. No matter what stage of spiritual growth you are in, these truths that I'm sharing this morning need to be important to you because they're still going to apply to the situations of life. You never get to the place in life you can just coast. People don't like to hear that. They want to just coast spiritually. You know what I mean? Just be lazy spiritually. But it's true nevertheless. You're going to have to, for the rest of your life, resist the thoughts that Satan brings to you. You have to take the responsibility for your thought life. It's your mind. It's not somebody else's mind. It's not the devil's mind. It's your mind. And it's your responsibility to do something with your mind. It's my responsibility to do something with my mind. I can't run around and guard your thought life. Not called to, and I'm not gonna. I mean, I do need to rest sometime. I can't. It's not my job to guard your thought life. It's not your job to guard my thought life. People sometimes say, well, I have something I need to talk over with you. And all it was is they didn't guard their thought life. And if all I did was say, just guard your thought life and it'll be fine. Learn how to answer those things. It wouldn't be a big deal. How many of you know a lot of things wouldn't come out of our mouth if we would have caught it in our thoughts? So, praise the Lord. Everybody's still glad you came. People don't like to hear that you're going to have to keep dealing with these things for the rest of your life. It's a little like treading water. If you're in water, you can't stop treading water. You're going to have to keep on treading water, or else we're going to have your funeral next week. I'm not trying to make light of it, but you understand how. I'm just saying that's how serious that is. You're going to have to. Can you see what I'm talking about? It's not enough for you to just. You can't just treat this as if it's not important and just be lazy. I'm just going to ignore the thoughts that come to me. Because we have responsibility to practice the word in this area. There are too many people sitting in churches that are still oppressed and depressed. Statistics shouldn't be the same in the world, in the church as they are in the world. You understand? Hallelujah. Decide that it's your mind and that you're going to do something with it. The Bible said whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is just and pure and so forth and so on, virtuous, think on these things. Think on these things. In other words, it's our responsibility to decide what we're thinking on. Some things are mind food for you and me. Some things are not. I'll tell you something that's not unforgiveness. Just thoughts of, oh, they did me wrong. And just, I'm so mad at them. And, you know, and ill will in our hearts. And we're thinking bad thoughts and looking for chances to get even and hoping bad things happen to them. That's not mind food. That'll destroy your mind, break down your mind. It'll become weaker and weaker. And oppressed, that's an open door to the enemy. And but that's true about a lot of different areas. It's not okay to just let a thought run through your mind. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but I know exactly at times where something came to me and I didn't address it. And it starts getting in just that moment. And you just didn't want... Anybody ever done that? Well, I know we've all done that. If something comes and it's just like, I don't want to deal with that. I just want to watch TV and veg out. And doesn't work that way. So we've got to take the responsibility for this. It is our responsibility. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Say it's my responsibility.
My responsibility.
I said it's a little like treading water. You stop and you're going to sink. Stop resisting wrong thoughts and answering them. You're going to sink into wrong thoughts or wrong thinking and all that comes with it. People don't like to hear that. Amen. Brother Hagin said it this way. Your mind no more stays renewed than your hair stays combed. In other words, you can't just stop combing your hair. Well, some people can. They don't have any. But those who let it grow out beyond a stub... You know, they have to keep combing their hair.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
And everybody can tell when we stop combing our hair.
Well,
if I got up this morning and didn't fix my, didn't, you know, I got bedhead. Anybody know what bedhead is? That means some of this is sticking out here and this is sticking up here. Boy, it's so good, though, to sleep. And but we get up in the morning and we don't need, I mean, we look like we need to comb our hair. We need to do something with it. Isn't that right? Well, don't be like the person who doesn't comb their hair. You got to constantly comb your hair, comb your thoughts. Get stuff out of the thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So, everybody still glad you came?
Yes, sir.
So, Jesus didn't just ignore these things. It's a little like a salesman coming to your front door. You understand that? Like somebody coming to make sales or something. Girl Scout cookies, whatever. You can't keep them from coming to your front door. Isn't that right? But you can answer them by saying no thank you. And you can close the door. Well, you can't keep thoughts from coming to you. They're going to come. You know, something happens and reminds you of what somebody did to you. Some bad thing, they treated you wrong or something. And it reminds you. You can sit there and go, that dog, I'm telling you what. What they did to me, I'll tell you what. I hope their cat dies. And you can start concocting things you hope happens to them. We laugh, but these are things that happen in people's lives. People don't want to admit it. See, Pastor Jace is bringing it out to the light this morning. And laughter makes the medicine go down. You can't keep those things from coming, but you can. When they do come, that's where your responsibility begins. You haven't done something wrong because it came. But whenever you turn over in your mind and you start entertaining that thought, now you've done something wrong. That's when it gets in. See, people get to the place where they're oppressed, they're obsessed, they're depressed or whatever, and people wonder how they got there. Well, I understand there's a physical side to these things as well. But when it comes to these things, sometimes people want to know what's before. I mean, did the chicken come before the egg or the egg before the chicken? What started it? Was it one or the other? I'm convinced there are things in people's physical bodies that lends itself to depression and so forth. But I'm also convinced that taking these wrong thoughts opens the door wide for the devil to take it to where he wants to take it. Because the Romans 8 says to be carnally minded is death. So, yes, thank God for physical healing. Yes, thank God for even medications that people get on sometimes. We're not opposed to that if people need it. But let's get down to the core of these things. It's not, you can't put a statistic on everybody. But I know there are lots of people that deal with these things. They're holding grudges against others. You can't make that true about everybody. That would be wrong. You understand? But I do know this is a big issue. Everybody still happy you came? Well, Pastor, lay hands on me that I'll forgive them. It doesn't happen by the laying on of hands. It happens by a choice. You say, I choose to forgive them. And now from every time from now on that a thought comes to me of ill will or something, I'm going to answer that thought. In fact, I'm going to do something good for them. And when a thought comes to me to say something bad about them, when somebody else is talking about them, I'm going to say something good about them. I remember Brother Hagin telling a story about a man at a funeral. He was known in the community for not saying anything bad about anybody. And the worst crook in the town, worst drug guy, everything. He died, and they all came to the funeral just wondering, what's this guy that never says bad about anybody? What's he going to say about this guy? He got nothing good to say about him. I mean, there's nothing good to say. He's just a rascal. Nothing good to say. They all watched when he went up to the casket, and he said, he sure had pretty teeth.
Wow.
His teeth were all straight. You can find something good in everybody. Yeah, but they did me wrong. Yeah, but there's something good to find. Well, I can't find it. Well, that's because you're not looking. Satan's hounding you with all the bad. Well, I'm having a good service. Anybody else having a good service? So we're talking about dominion, really. We're talking about authority of the believer, but specifically over these wrong thoughts. Can you say amen? When Satan comes against your mind, you're not oppressed just because the thought came. You understand? That's not what really is causing you to be bound. It's whenever you don't address it. You understand? The thoughts Satan brings are as seeds, and he wants that to get planted and then start to grow. Philippians 4, 8 through a few verses after that, it says, whatever's true, lovely, so forth and so on, like I said, think on these things. Every thought that comes must be examined in the context of the criteria listed for what is thought food for you. Go to that passage sometime and list it and look at it. Is what I'm thinking on true? Now somebody said, well, it is true what they did to me. Okay. But keep on reading.
Right, right.
Yeah. Is it lovely?
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on.
Huh? See, it's not just one of the criteria that makes it qualify for thought food for us. Well, what they did is true, but what you're thinking about is not lovely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There you go.
Amen. It has to meet all the criteria in that passage.
Yes, sir.
Brother Hagin told the story of a woman that, in fact, in his book, Triumphant Church, one of my favorite books, I think. You know, the Bible is my favorite book, but you understand, it's written in line with the Bible. But he said there was a lady, God showed him in a vision this particular situation. There was a lady that Satan came and put this thought in her mind. And she actually got to the place she went and totally backslid, got away from God, actually cursed the name of Jesus and died and went to hell. She's a minister's wife, but actually recanted and went and cursed the name of Jesus, didn't want anything to do with the blood, and cursed the blood. But Brother Hagin said that all got started by one thought. And this was the thought. The thought was, you're a pretty woman. You've been cheated in life. You could have had fame, fortune, and popularity. She said, Brother Hagin said, he saw this in the vision. He said, she said, get behind me, Satan. She recognized it was Satan. Now, see, he kept, but Satan left and then he came back. You got to know that's the strategy of the enemy. He'll you resist him, he'll leave, but then he'll try to come back. Especially when you're worn down spiritually.
Yeah,
oh my. You ever notice you get worn down spiritually? Things that have been regurgitated out of your life for years, they've been gone for a long time. You ever notice they start coming back? They start coming back. You get worn down. He starts ganging up on you in that area. It's a little like a dog that once was in, it got through a door to, I know our dog, whenever I was growing up, we had a dog that we let in every now and then for just special occasions. We let it in the house. It was an outside dog. But you know what that dog did? Every time you go in the house, it stood right by that door. It wanted in. That's the way that devil is. He wants back in that same door he used to be. The Bible says whenever he's out, he's cast out, he wants to cease to come back in. Now, you don't have to, you know, resist him like that every day. Some days you're not that conscious of the fact he's there. But you get weak and so forth, he'll show up. Amen. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the truth. Thank God for the truth. These thoughts are seeds. He wants to take you way into this area of darkness. You gotta answer these thoughts way before they get to that place. Amen. Hallelujah. But Brother Hagin said that devil, he kept coming back to this lady. You're a pretty woman. And you've been cheated in life. In other words, because you're in the ministry, you're cheated. You could have had all this because of your beauty and so forth. And Brother Hagin said that she resisted, but that thing kept coming back. And eventually she said, Brother Hagin said in the vision, he saw that she entertained that thought. And when she did, Brother Hagin in the vision saw a dot go, a black dot go into her mind. Well, she still could have resisted that. But that just meant she took that thought. Remember Jesus said, take no thought, saying, thoughts come, but thoughts can be resisted. They don't have to be taken just because they come. Young people, learn that. You don't have to take every thought that comes to you. You need to, every mind needs a bouncer at the doors. It needs to be examined. Scripture and verse. Is this true? Is this lovely? Is this virtuous? Learn to answer thoughts and don't take certain thoughts. Well, the thought came. Yeah, it doesn't mean it's something for you to be entertained. But Brother Hagin said this woman, she's entertained that thought. Now, Brother Hagin said that it was true that this woman was beautiful. Brother Hagin said it was the kind of beauty that if she walked in a room, everybody turn and look. Not because of lust, just because unusual good looks, you know. I know we don't talk about that stuff much, but sometimes that's true. Amen. So Brother Hagin said that was true. She was a beautiful woman, but the rest wasn't true. See, what came after that was not virtuous. Amen. So, Philippians 4 gives us criteria for our thought life, and it's not just one thing that makes it thought food, that gives it, qualifies it to be thought food for us. We have to, everything has to be lovely, true, pure. Pure. Come on, somebody say pure. Amen. Are you getting anything out of this? So, some things might qualify in one area, but they don't qualify in other areas. How do you distinguish the voice of the enemy? How can you tell it's Satan and not God? This is how you do it. God's thoughts will meet all the biblical standards and criteria for what is allowed in Philippians 4. If it doesn't meet the criteria, you are to take dominion over that thought. Cast it down and replace it with God's word. Isn't that right? Yes, sir. Not just with your mind, but with your mouth. Right. It's not enough to just to wage a mental warfare. Right. I'm just not going to think that thought. Jesus didn't say, I'm just not going to think that thought. In Luke 4. He opened his mouth and answered it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what that'll do? The first thing that'll do, of course, it's resisting the enemy. But the first thing it'll do is it'll bring it out of the realm of you're not paying attention to what's happening. And it'll bring it into the realm of awareness. Something's going on here and I have to address this. Does that make sense? In other words, if it's just happening and you're not paying attention to it, then Satan has the advantage. But whenever it happens, you open your mouth and say something. That gets your attention on the fact, okay, right now I am under attack of the enemy. There is a wrong thought coming to me. And whenever a person's not paying attention to that, Satan just keeps on at it. But when you open your mouth and you answer it, maybe people are around and you can't do it right then, but go into the restroom or go by yourself. Go walk outside, take a little walk or something, and you start dealing with it. Amen. Dealing with it. Amen. Addressing it. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. You don't fight thoughts with thoughts. You fight thoughts with words.
Amen.
Jesus fought his battles with the word of God. Learn to answer those things and don't depend on somebody else to do it for you. Well, I'm so tormented. Can you take authority over it? Yes, but it'll come back. What are you going to do when we're not there? God has not assigned you to freedom only around somebody else who's free or knows how to exercise authority. He's got a better life for you than that. He's got freedom all day when you're by yourself, when you're in the privacy of your own thoughts. You can be free all the time. Hallelujah. Let's lay hold of it. What do you say? Hallelujah. And so these thoughts must go, and they must be answered, or they'll work against you and I's life, and Satan will get an open door. Faith doesn't mean that things don't talk to you. It means that you talk to them. Just because you're a person of faith doesn't mean these suggestions don't come to your mind. It just means whenever they do, you talk to them. And you're not operating in the full scope of faith until you do. Amen. Learn to not only talk to God, but learn to talk to the enemy and learn to talk to his thoughts. Learn, you don't have to wait for a being to show up in a red pajama suit and a pitchfork and a forked tail and until you reckon, oh, that the devil. No, catch him in these thoughts. Catch him in these thoughts. Amen. We're getting good at this. Tell your neighbor, we're getting good at this. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. So our confession includes in the area of saying who the Lord is to us. The Bible says, speak to this mountain in Mark 11:23. So our confession includes answering things and speaking to them. Isn't that right? And then it also includes answering thoughts and suggestions, doubts or fears or whatever Satan brings. Amen? Many times these thoughts have their beginning in the spirit realm and we're called to do something with it. I wish these things weren't so. I wish Satan wasn't here and didn't do this stuff. You realize that? That these things didn't come to my mind. I wish they didn't come to other people's minds. But they do. Well, let's just cast the devil into the abyss so we don't have the right to. Adam gave him the right to be on this earth. But we do have the right to stop him in our lives. And give him no place in our lives. Hallelujah. We're here. He's here. We're not destined to defeat just because we're here and he's here. We've got all the weapons we need to always be free in our thought life, just like we're free in every other area of life. Hallelujah. I wish things would go away, but it doesn't go away by wishing. It goes away by doing the word. Praise God. Praise the Lord. These things want to oppress people. They want to depress them. They want to inspire them, obsess them, make them obsessive about something, vex and torment their minds, and even possess people if they can. But God's given us the weapons to stop them all the way back at the moment the thought hits our mind and be totally free from the things that other people live under. Hallelujah. We're not saying we're better than them. We're just saying the truth of God's word works.
Amen.
And it'll work for them too. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're saying these things so that we can be effective in our authority over them. God doesn't want us to be ignorant. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. There are many good, otherwise successful, and even beautiful Christians. But because they lack the knowledge of what I'm talking about this morning, Satan has a heyday in their inner thought life, if you want to say it that way. Amen. And he's always looking for somebody who won't answer. And they're beautiful Christians otherwise, but Satan just takes advantage of their lack of knowledge. How about, let's be good, beautiful, loving Christians, but also be free. What do you say? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Did you get anything out of the Word this morning? Thank God for the truth. Don't run, stand. Take God's Word, take the sword of the Spirit, and answer that thing. Boy, that cuts him up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of these things are because, some of the things that some of you are dealing with are because you are at a door of opportunity to get into greater things in God. And by doors, there are adversaries, according to the Scriptures. You ever read the Scriptures? By the doors, there are adversaries. And the Bible tells us that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Stand and get in the door. Don't run and miss the door. Am I making any sense? Because that's what the devil's telling some people. And I know more than I'm saying right here, right now. But praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And don't let condemnation, I'm almost done here. I got to finish this up. Don't let condemnation and guilt dominate you. There are people here that are asking themselves the question, why am I thinking these thoughts over and over? What is wrong with me? That's exactly what the devil wants you to think. See, he's already gotten you thinking it's you. That's exactly what he wants. And if it's you, then when you go to hit it, you're going to end up hitting yourself. Because you think you're the problem. You understand what I'm talking about? And you're going to beat yourself up. Don't accept it as if it was you. It was him that brought it to you. But address him. Am I making any sense? What's wrong with me? Why am I thinking these thoughts? It's not you thinking those thoughts. It's the enemy bringing them to you. Of course, you might accept them, but don't think that it was you that originated that thought. Boy, if we'd get a hold of this, we wouldn't get under it and feel all condemned like, oh, I'm wrong, I did this, I did that. Well, Satan was the one that brought it. Don't accuse yourself. Hit the mark. Paul said, I'm not one that beats the air. I hit the mark. You know, you're beating the air. Some guy's in a boxing match and he's over here beating the air. Well, over here's the dude that you need to hit. Hit the mark. Don't identify with, I thought that thought. No, that thought came to you. And answer it as if it was his and not yours. You've heard the illustration. I'm going to say it again. If I came along and come up here, Evan. If while I'm talking to Evan, say, how you doing? Good to see you. You know, and I stuff a bag of marijuana in his pocket and he doesn't see it. And later he finds that marijuana. He could take the thought of, and somebody else saw it. They could take the thought of, what's wrong with you, Evan? I mean, carrying a marijuana around, something's wrong with you. It wasn't him. It was me. You understand that illustration? Thank you. And that's the way it is when Satan brings a thought. Don't think, oh, I thought a wrong thought. No, hit the joker that brought it. Hit the one that brought the thought. So many of these things aren't us. Amen. Well, the word is good. The word is good. Hallelujah. Keep that fact before you or you'll miss the mark. You'll be beating up yourself rather than hitting Satan with the word. There's nothing more wrong with you than there was with Jesus in Luke 4. Amen. You're not sinning just because the thought keeps coming to you, even though your body even reacts to the presence of that spirit that is there speaking. And you have the feelings that go along with what he's saying. This just came to me this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. So that thing will come. He'll make the suggestion. His presence, because that's the kind of spirit he is. And you'll have all the feelings because that's the kind of spirit he is. And that's the kind of feelings that spirit produces. You'll have the feelings that you failed. You'll have the thought that you failed. I thought a wrong thought. Satan's going to now condemn you for it. Because he puts the thought in one ear and then he comes on the other shoulder and tells you it was you that thought it up. Well, I have all these feelings of unforgiveness and I have the thoughts of it. That doesn't make you an unforgiving person. Forgiveness is a choice, not a feeling. Forgiveness is no more a feeling than faith is a feeling. Well, we haven't shared on this for a long time, but this is. I'm glad for myself that I shared on this. Amen. You can answer those feelings whenever you start feeling hot and say, no, I forgave them. I forgave them.